Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
Believe this, but I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians. Today, I'd like for you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As you're turning there, I just want to make the point that we are in our public schools here in Aiken County. We're right in the middle of spring break, and we will. I know it was stated at the beginning, but we will not have our regular midweek services this week, which is the 10th. We've done that for a number of years during Master's Week, for a long time, and so. I just want to make you aware of that. We'll not have Wednesday evening services this week, but we look forward to seeing you again next Sunday morning at 9 and 11:15. So just keep that in mind. Also, 2 weeks from today is our celebration of our church anniversary. We're 93 this year. So you're looking good for 93, let me just tell you. You're looking good. In fact, as a whole, these have been some of the greatest days in the history of our church as the Lord is gathering His people. And I'm trusting that He's gathering us, and we do not know how long it'll be before the Lord shall return. But I want to encourage you to invite. As you know, on an Easter Sunday, as last Sunday, there's people that will come on those days that you might not see today. But that does not mean that God did not work in their heart and life and will continue to work. And there'll be people that will come in the weeks and months to come where seeds were planted last week. Would you say amen to that? Would you believe for that? That's what I'm believing for. But last Sunday was the largest attendance that we've ever had in the history of our church. We had 1,431 last week. That was a great day. Let me share this with you too. The Heritage Co., which is our church in Lexington that is just a little over a year old, they're averaging between 350 and 400 every Sunday in Lexington. Just a baby. They're just a baby. And last Sunday for Easter, they had 645. I mean, that is just like numbers of people saved. I think our number of salvations last week here was 22. And Austin gave me a number there, but I can't remember that number right now. But what I'm saying is, let's just praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things He has done and is doing and will do. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're looking at 2 Corinthians, and actually there are 18 verses here in 2 Corinthians we want to look at. Beginning with verse 1, I want to begin reading. And I know it's a lengthy passage, but I think it's important that we read it. So I will try not to comment. Do you hear that? Try not to comment as I read. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also indeed when we are present. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, and other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. This morning, I want to preach a message that I've titled, The Conflict of the Christian Life. The Conflict of the Christian Life. Depending on your Bible, you may have a heading there that says spiritual warfare. It may say something else akin to that. But I want us to consider the conflict of the Christian life. And the songs today really, really connect well to what we're talking about this morning, that we've been singing. And I don't think any of us would argue today with the fact that as believers that there is a war that rages. But I want you to understand that the war that rages is a spiritual war for the Christian. I want you to go not to think of any conflict between men in the world, between nations, but that there is a conflict that every Christian must encounter and does encounter. And you may think it odd that I say Christian, but that's exactly what I mean today. This is what the scripture is speaking to, and I want to just focus upon that this morning. From the very outset of the ministry of Jesus with his disciples, he began to talk to them about this conflict, and that as a follower of him, there was going to be conflict. There was going to be some things that they had to deal with as believers. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, right out of the gate, he says to them, he said, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, or for my name's sake. He said, blessed are them who are persecuted. So he says that there will be those who revile you, who say all manner of evil against you. He's telling his disciples this. He's saying it's going to happen there as he's giving that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. And he wants them to, he's trying to enlighten them regarding what they're going to be facing. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 16, he says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, as sheep among wolves. Also in Matthew 10 and verse 22, he says, they're going to hate you for my name's sake. So he's enlightening them, and it's incumbent upon me, if you have not been enlightened regarding this, to also enlighten you today regarding this conflict of life. And whether we've ever understood it or not, I think it will come into clear view today, because that is the reality that what we deal with from day to day. That's why we talk so much about winning the victory and being victorious in our Christian walk and living a triumphant life. And it's all in Christ Jesus that this is. That we can even do this. It's the victory is in the man Jesus. Would you say that with me? Victory is in the man Jesus, and we never should get our eyes off of that reality. So he tried to enlighten them. In John 15:19, he starts explaining to them even more. He said this in John 15:19. He said, if you were of the world, they would love you. They would love you. He said, but you are not of the world. He said, for I called you and chose you out of the world. But because of that, you will be hated for my name's sake. John 15:19. In John 16, verses 21 through 23. There he begins to talk to them and share with them regarding these troubles that will be faced and for them to be on guard. And in verse, actually, if you go down to verse, really down to 16 and 33 in that area, it says there that in this world you shall have tribulation. But he said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So he's saying, he's explaining to them, he's been enlightening them, but he is explaining to them how this is unfolding here. Be of good cheer. There's going to be tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. We're taught in the scriptures regarding a parable, actually, he shared with them of the wheat and the tares in Scripture. And he tells them the wheat there symbolizing the Christian, and then there are tares, and in this case, he's talking about in the kingdom there, he's really referring to counterfeits within the kingdom. There's counterfeits. There are false teachers in the day. There are those who are pretending, those that aren't genuine. But he's saying there, don't you go and try to pluck them up. Leave them alone. He said, because if you start taking things into your own hands, you're going to harm the wheat. But he says, wait till the time of the harvest, and the reaper will note the difference. And he'll be able to see the difference between the wheat and the tare. Basically, let it, just leave it in God's hands. Don't you worry your life about figuring out who's a wheat and a tare. You make sure that you're living for the Lord. You make sure that you keep your eyes on Jesus, and he'll take care of the stuff that you can't. So just be careful to stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. So he enlightens them regarding this battle of the Christian life. He explains to them, and then I love in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, he encourages them. And Jesus says to them regarding this, he said he began to teach them regarding how they are to come to him. He said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest for your weariness, your weary souls. And he said, my burden is, he said, my yoke is easy. What it means there is his yoke fits. It fits. And my burden is light. And so there's the encouragement. In all of this battle and all the difficulties, listen, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we go to our text today, the Apostle Paul really gives us some more information regarding this conflict of the Christian life. And the context for which we read the whole chapter we just read is that there are people who are attacking the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. They're saying, in effect, that when you are in our midst, you're all weak. You don't hardly say it. You're not. But when you're writing, when you're behind your computer, you bold. I think folks understand that. But they're saying that about him, that you're bold when you're out there writing them letters. But when you hear, you appear weak to us. These are not soundly saved people saying this. These are false teachers that are making this claim. They're trying to discredit him, and they're trying to undermine the authority that has been given him in Christ Jesus. And so we need to grab hold of that, understand what's happening here and what he's responding to in this passage. But I love the fact, and listen, to read my actual Bible in front of me, I got to take off my glasses. He said, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I love that. He's saying, look, I don't respond to people like the world responds to people. He said, you're saying all these things about me. You're attacking me in this area. I want you to know that I'm bold when I need to be bold. When I'm in your presence, I'm going to be meek. I'm going to be loving. There's a way for me to behave and live out my life. And there's a way that I'm not going to. And so I want us to see that this morning. And so I want us to, first of all, consider the nature of this Christian battle that we're in. The nature of the Christian battle. And this is the nature of it. We are to be spiritual and not carnal. Fleshly. Carnal just means acting out of the flesh. So the nature of the Christian battle is to respond spiritually, to be focused on the spiritual things of God, those things that are pleasing to God. That's what he wants us to do. In fact, we note here in this passage today that the Apostle Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through faith. They're not carnal. They're not fleshly. We don't respond, and he's talking to the church. Church, we don't respond like the world responds. We are to be spiritually minded. We are to respond in spiritual dimensions and in a way that represents Christ, in a way where Jesus receives the glory and the honor, in a way that pleases our Lord and Savior. So very simply, the nature of this Christian battle is that we are to be spiritual and not carnal. So what is the source, secondly, of this Christian battle? What is the source of all the trouble we can have? And it is our thought life. How our thinking is. So we're either spiritually minded or we're carnally minded. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. So the source of it is how we think. How we think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When we have stinking thinking, it affects our life. If we allow thoughts to go unchecked, listen, a thought may come to your mind just because you're a human being, right? It didn't mean that you had just come up all of a sudden, I want to think bad thoughts. No. They will come up, but here he's saying you gotta take that thought captive. And every imagination and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, things that are not pleasing to the Lord, things that are not in line with how a Christian is to live, and if it's not that Christ would have us to be involved in, we have to take it captive. We'll deal with that. We'll have to take that thought, because the enemy would like to, he would like to just step on us and drive us into the ground. That's what he wants to do. And so I want us just to consider this morning, the source in our thinking. Carnality, fleshly thinking versus being spiritually minded. And so I want to jump to really the final point of it is, so what are the weapons? What are the weapons of this Christian battle? How is it to be done? So if I'm going to be spiritual and not carnal, what are the weapons for how I'm going to live out my life? I love what Paul said here in our text. He said, I walk in the flesh, but I don't war according to the flesh. I walk in the flesh. All of us in this room, we're flesh. We walked into this room flesh. We're going to walk out of this flesh unless the Lord translates us before we get out the door. But we'll be in the flesh. But he said, don't war according to the flesh. Don't fight your battles according to the flesh. And it's important for us to link here today in Paul's teaching to Ephesians chapter 6. If we're going to not war according to the flesh, then we need to be informed today about the weapons of our warfare. Because he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Mighty. Would you say that with me? Mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. He didn't say weak and helpless and just keep on struggling. I hope you can make it to tomorrow. And if you make it to next Sunday, God bless you. I just hope you can. No. He said there, the weapons of your warfare are mighty in God. In God. Not me, not Stephen, in God. It's not me, it's Christ. It's not me, it's the cross of Christ. It's not me. And so when we think about all of this, there's a way the world does it, but we are to operate from the position of the cross. We are to operate and live our life in the position of what Christ has accomplished and what Jesus has done. And that's how we're going to live victorious. It's one of the great paradoxes of life for us as a Christian. Is that what appeared to be a defeat on the cross was actually a conquering victory. What appeared to be a failure was not a failure at all when he died upon the cross for our sins. In fact, he was accomplishing the greatest of all victories that could ever be accomplished. So that's why we have to get our thinking right. We got to get our mind set upon Christ. We got to get our mind in the right place. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 12, he said, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." You can just leave this up. See, this is how carnality works. We get hurt. You can describe words. Somebody said something against you. Somebody did something against you. When in carnality, when the hurt comes, there's a counterattack. Now, this is carnality. This is the world system. A counterattack is then put in place. There's a retaliation. That's how carnal people react to hurt. And however it was that the world hurt you, you hurt the world back in the same way or more. That's carnality. So, all right, so what are we to do here? For our warfare is not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What day?
Evil.
Yes. And having done all, I just note that with a comma, having done all, it says to stand.
Yeah.
To stand. This wasn't done so that we could just then throw in the towel and give up. No. To stand. This is the reason that this is what God has done so that we can withstand in the evil day. To stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end, this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So I noted how in the flesh we experience the hurt, then we counterattack by and retaliate, and we feel like we got to do something back. Well, that's how the world responds. But as Christians, as people, a spiritual people, and when I say spiritual, I'm not just talking about anything. I'm talking about those that are spiritual in Christ Jesus. That's the true spiritual of the world. Everything else is counterfeit. Any kind of mysticism and spirituality that exists within the world in outside of Jesus Christ is counterfeit. But in Christ Jesus, that spirituality, guess what? It reigns on the just and the unjust. And in this world, you get hurt. And as Christians, you may get hurt. Jesus said they'll hurl insults against you. There'll be people that'll hate you. There'll be those that are experience heavy persecution in the world. It's possible. It's possible. Though we have been in many ways, some of the persecution for the name of Jesus has not been a commonplace in our own land. It could be in the days to come. But the reality is, all of us have experienced hurt of various kinds, but for the believer, for the Christian, for that one that is spiritual, when we experience the hurt, we don't counterattack. It's the law of exclusion. One man said, we exclude counterattacks. Jesus said, when a man strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other cheek. What he's saying is, we don't counterattack. It is not the plan of God for you and I, nor the Apostle Paul, when he's dealing with there in the church of Corinth. It's not his job to counterattack, but it is his job to submit to God. That's what James says. He says, submit to God. Submit to God. He said, resist the devil, but you got to submit to God. We got to submit everything to Him because He will handle that thing. And so when we begin to deal with it, we don't deal with it blow for blow, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. The Word of God, you've said, you've heard it said, but I say unto you, there's a greater law of love that is to dominate our life, and we can trust God. If He needs to fix something, if there's something that needs to be done, He can do it. But we've got to submit to Him ourselves and trust Him with the outcome, thinking, I've got to get back at them, is stinking thinking. It's wrong thinking. It's not Christ thinking. It is the world says that's the way you do it. That's how it's to be done. I'm telling you today, that is not the way of Jesus. But that in this flesh, in this flesh, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. Someone hurls an insult at you, and it's natural to do the same thing. I'm going to tell on my mama. When I was a kid, I come in the house. My mama, she approached things different than my daddy did. My daddy sit me down, son. We went through the whole thing. Mama was more knee-jerk. And I was outside playing. There was community people out. I think it was on bicycles and stuff. And I said, Mama, I come in the house crying. I said, Mama, that so-and-so, I could call them by name, but I won't. They're still alive. He called me fatty. It was true. Mama said, this is North Georgia country language. She said, well, if he says that, you call him Beanpole. Because he was skinny as a rail. So the next time he did it, I got it mixed up. I said, you pole bean. I'm saying all that because none of that matters. You know what I'm saying? That was the foolish thing in the world, but it felt good saying pole bean. But Jesus don't want that kind of stuff. See, we think there's a way that seems right unto man. But that way leads to destruction. That way will ruin your life. That way will end up poisoning you and bringing bitterness into your life, and it will leave you worse off than you ever could have ever dreamed, and you bring it on yourself. Jesus is saying, this is going to happen. These things are going to happen. It's just a matter of time. You can count on it, but you are not to counterattack. We serve a God who's bigger than all of that. We serve a God who made the heavens and the earth. We serve a God who has no trouble with anything that the enemy would ever bring our way, and we just trust him to handle it, and he'll do it perfectly. Perfectly. And then he'll call upon us to love, to be kind, to be good, to be gentle, to be long-suffering, have self-control and temperance. That's what he calls upon us to do. That's what he calls upon us to do. So we see there's a difference here. There's such an incredible difference that how he wants us to live and how he wants us to deal with the conflicts of our life in this Christian battle that we all faced. And so I said there's that law of exclusion, what we don't do. But there's a law of attention. What are we to do? And Philippians 4:8 has got the secret for us. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things, on these things. So let's go back to that armor. We are to get dressed every day. We are to clothe ourselves. I wonder how much time do we spend getting ready for the world? How much time do we spend getting ready for God? That's important for us to consider. Because sometimes we're more concerned with getting ready to face this world and what it might see than we are concerned with getting ready for God and what He might desire to see in us. And so, this is all linked to the Word of God. The time you spend getting ready, this whole armor has got to do with the Scriptures. And it has to do with not just reading a Scripture, but it's our approach to God's Word. Because if I just read the Bible but never apply it to my life and never obey what it says, then it's like, according to James, me looking into a mirror and then immediately forgetting what I look like. That I went up to the mirror and saw my hair needed to be combed, but walked away and didn't comb. I went to the mirror and saw that my face was dirty, but I walked away and never washed my face. I looked in the mirror and saw that my clothes had maybe had something wrong with them and that needed to be changed, but I didn't change them. I went right out the door. So it is spiritually. When we go to the Word and we look into the mirror of God's Word, we need to look into it and say, God, what do I need to do today? Do I need to comb this? Do I need to tuck in this? Do I need to press this? What do I need to do, God, to make sure that I can face God today in a manner that when I face the world, I'll be able to be sustained and win the battles of this life? That's where it's at. That's where it's at. Peter struggled initially with this teaching. He had struggled. In fact, we read where he and I believe John 16, the Lord had told them and taught them regarding that he must die. He must die death, and he would die, we understand, by crucifixion. Peter was like, no, Lord, this won't be. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He was speaking to the influence behind how Peter was addressing him. He had already taught them that the seed must die and that he must die. But he didn't get it. Peter thought carnally. He was still thinking carnally. He was still thinking worldly. We see it again in the Garden of Gethsemane, how that we know they came to arrest Jesus, and Peter took a sword and cut the ear off the man, the guard. Now, that's about as fleshly as you can get right there. Let me just go ahead and tell you. He didn't mean to cut his ear off. He was going to cut that man's head off. That's what he was doing. And Jesus reached over, picked up the man's ear, and put it back on the side of his head as though it had never been cut off. Why? Because Jesus responded in the spiritual. He responded in God, in himself, in Christ. That's how he responded. It really wasn't until Pentecost that Peter really got it, it seems. As the outpouring of the Holy Spirit come upon him, it was like everything's changed now. I'm sure it happened before that, after the resurrection and all that, and things began to be more clear to Peter. But I want to tell you, we have to come to a place where we God wants us to get it. And some of us have been so busy retaliating to the hurts of this life that it's actually made you miserable at times. I can't think of a more miserable thing than if I had to say, always have to respond to everything. That is miserable living. Responding to every accusation and everything somebody says, and just going back and forth. Jesus don't want that for us. But he does want us to get in the dressing room. He wants us to go to the dressing room. For men, put on your belt of truth. Some translations say girdle of truth. I'll hold off on the girdle business. Put on that belt of truth. That belt of truth that will just hold everything together in place. It's a belt of integrity. It's a belt where not only am I trusting in the truth of God's word, and that is what's going to carry me forward, but it's also that truth is integrity. How I live my life, I'm to live my life in truth. The word of God's got to be applied to my life. The truth has got to become a reality in my walking with God. Yes, I'm walking in the flesh, but my warfare is not according to the flesh. Yes, I'm standing up here preaching to you in this fleshly voice, but we're leaning upon an unseen hand and an unseen God today who is ministering in this place. We didn't come down here by ourselves. And he said, put on those shoes of peace. He said to take up that breastplate of righteousness. It tells us there that we are to have the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is how we're to face our day. But this is not to protect me physically. This is not for physical protection. This is for spiritual protection. There's many people that have been martyred in the name of Christ while having on the full armor of God. This is for spiritual protection. It's not to protect my body, to clothe my body. It's clothing my soul. So I want to ask you, will you commit today to get up every day and to go into your room, into your where you robe, and to do more than just put on your physical clothing? Will you clothe yourself spiritually and become obedient to the word? And don't be carnally minded, but be spiritually minded. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, this word today, I believe, is for everybody here. I don't believe there's a single person in the room that this is somehow not for a moment. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would take this word, you would meld it within our hearts, make us whole. Make us whole, make us like you, and may, Lord, the warfare of this life, may God, we live it out in accordance with what you have planned for us. And the conflicts of life are many, but God, in all these many conflicts, there's a way that a Christian is to live, and it's not the way of the world. Help us, Lord, that our mind would be stayed upon you, and that we would do it your way and your will. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only he can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.